C.S. Lewis said, "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic or else he would be the devil of hell." What are some of these statements that Jesus made? We'll talk about it.
There's a tendency for us to become overwhelmed by the culture we live in. It's natural for us to want to fit in and be liked. The danger comes when fitting in causes us to compromise our biblical beliefs in favor of the ways of our culture. In today's program, Dave Gorduc, pastor of spiritual life at Hope Sound Bible Church, will teach us in Faith by the Book how standing for godliness will, at some point, contrast with the culture we live in. Let's listen to Dave as he teaches us how to make choices to follow true biblical principles.
There are some things that Jesus said that make one really consider who he was. One of them was the statement that he made when he said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out," or "in any way, I won't cast him out." I'm glad Jesus didn't say it the other way. I'm glad he didn't say, "Him that cometh to me, I may or may not cast out." Had he said that, there would be no assurance of salvation. There would be no promise for anyone who will come to Christ. There would be no basis for being accepted, no rest in faith. But Jesus said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." What kind of people have come to Jesus and found that he's changed them? I'm thinking of a man that I knew whose name was Roy. When the mailman would make deliveries to his house, he would come away shaking his head and think, "There is no happiness in that house." And yet Roy came to Christ. And when he did, he became a very happy and encouraging man. Instead of a drain on his family, now he was an encouragement. I'm thinking of a man named Pete, who lived out in the country, who was so concerned about whether or not he could find salvation. And yet one day Pete came to rest in assurance that Jesus Christ actually was his Savior. I'm thinking of a young lady named Cindy, who had run away from home and was running in the streets on the west coast of the United States, had nothing to live for, was wasting her life, and yet she came to Christ, and it changed her. It made her a young, bright, vibrant, and productive person. Jesus said, "Whoever you are, if you come to Christ, he won't cast you out." Another thing I'm glad Jesus didn't say is, "If any man thirst, let him go anywhere and drink." In other words, fix your own problems. Quench your own thirst. Try whatever you think will help. I'm thinking of the Humanist Manifesto that was made in the 1930s by some intellectuals in the United States and then repeated several decades later. And one of the phrases in the Humanist Manifesto 2, it says, "No deity will save us. We must save ourselves." But Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say, "Go try to save yourselves." He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." There's a song that talks about a man that was once lost, looking for ways to satisfy his own life. Nothing helped. He said it was like husks gathered around him, a dry and dusty life. But then he said, "Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul so long has craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood I now am saved." He found that when he came to Christ, the thirst in his heart was quenched. Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." Another thing I'm glad Jesus didn't say is, "I am one of the ways to the Father." There are many ways to truth and life. Had he said that, we would be lost in the shuffle of varying beliefs and ideas and concepts. There would be no ultimate truth. There would be no confidence that anything you do is enough. But no, Jesus didn't say, "I am one of the ways." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is who he said he was. He said, "I am," from the beginning. He said he is the Savior, the only King. And Paul the Apostle, writing in one of his letters to the churches, spoke it like this: "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever. Paul was referring to Jesus Christ. He was referring to him who is the way to the Father. There was a timid preacher that came to one of his mentors, wondering if he really was able to go out and share the good news. His mentor looked at him and he asked him a question. He said, "Do you know the problem?" And that preacher said, "Well, yes, I know the problem. The problem is that man is filled with sin. All men have sinned." He said, "That's right. Do you know the cure?" He thought a bit and said, "Yes, the cure is that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." His mentor said to that young preacher, "You know the problem. You know the cure. Now go and preach it." And he became a successful minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way to the Father. No man comes to the Father but by me." There's another thing that I'm glad that Jesus didn't say. I'm glad he didn't say, when he was on the cross, "Well, it's over. I can't do any more. I've done all I can do. Now it's up to you. Do your best. Try to make the scales tip in your favor. Work hard. Don't be very wicked. Maybe your good works will outweigh your bad and you'll be accepted with God." No, Jesus didn't say that. In fact, here's what he said when he was on the cross and he was dying. He said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, when he said, "It is finished," he meant that he had performed the last act of a process. Jesus came to earth to go to the cross and to die. That's what he came for. When he said, "It is finished," he had completed what is necessary to bring sinful man to a holy God. The work of dying for sin was complete. The perfect sacrifice had been made. It also means to carry out the contents of a command. And so when Jesus said he was finished, he had carried out the contents of the command of his Father. And when Jesus came to the Father, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." The Father's will was to bring redemption to man through Christ. And when Jesus said it is finished, he meant that not one more thing needs to be done for our salvation. What began before the foundation of the world in the mind of God, what was prophesied to Eve that her seed would bruise Satan's heel, what was prophesied by Isaiah that by his stripes we are healed, that the iniquity of the world was laid on him, what was brought into the world by the Holy Ghost coming upon the Virgin Mary so she would bring forth her firstborn son, what the angels told the shepherds about a Savior for the world, what he taught his disciples about when he told them he would suffer many things, what he allowed himself to be betrayed for, what he purchased on the cross that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, what happened on the cross that now once in the end of the world has he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. All this has been completed. It is finished. No sinner need wait for one more thing. No person that's backed away from God in faith need wait for a more opportune time. No fleshly man need to wait for a better circumstances. No, it is finished. You may come just as you are to find just what you need. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. John Wesley was riding on his horse, and he was accosted by a robber who took away his purse. And as the robber wheeled to go away, Wesley shouted after him, "Remember this, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Years later, that same robber came to Wesley and said, "I met you one day on the road. I could never get away from those words. I've become a Christian." You can become a Christian by turning to Christ by faith.
We pray that God has blessed you as you've listened to today's message and hope that you'll come back and listen again on this same station. This program has been a production of Live Hope and Sound Broadcasting.